残酷な天使のように、少年よ神話になれ。
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into this. We are today gathered here to do a very special episode, as the 80s sitcoms would refer to it. We have a very pressing issue that is staring us in the face today, and that is the issue of homosexuals within our movement. Now, a lot of people will agree that homosexuals are bad, but there seems to be this underlying current that there are certain homosexuals within the movement that claim to abstain from any sort of degeneracy or activity, and that this is somehow acceptable. We are here today to show you that these individuals do not keep to what they say, and that they engage in things that would give you nightmares. Now, let's dive right into things, gentlemen. Yes, we are going to start off by talking about Greg Johnson, a name that everyone, I think, knows. Now, does anyone have any comments before we get into the topic of Greg Johnson?
A two-month-old anime torrenting site gets more views than his shitty blog.
All right. I'll just have it I start summarizing this up. So, as Hazard said at the intro of this episode, we're here to expose all this, basically. The gay mafia, let's be honest, the gay mafia meme is real. If anyone's been around, you know, the TRS community for some time, there's been this whole meme about the gay mafia, and it's real.
There is a cabal of faggots.
And if anyone's going to be the godfather, it would be Greg Johnson. So if you, for some reason, have never heard of Greg Johnson, and I wouldn't blame you, because you probably haven't heard of this individual, let us just introduce who he is. So Greg Johnson is the founder and also the editor-in-chief of Countercurrents Publishing, a website that publishes books and articles and does podcasts and all kinds of stuff. And Greg Johnson has basically he's open about it, but he just doesn't mention it all the time. But he's a fag. He's an outright fag. And this is the fucking kicker. Even though you probably haven't heard of him, he is incredibly influential. Incredibly influential. He has his tentacles in therightstuff.biz. He's had his tentacles in MPI at one stage, I believe. He's had his tentacles in... Can anyone name any others? Because I can't fucking think of anyone.
I'll chip something in
there. I went to the Identity Dixie conference back in January, and guess who we ended up calling for the New York Forum when we were done having our main speeches? Your favorite faggot himself.
Yeah. And yeah, he's involved in the New York Forum, the Northwest Forum, this guy is everywhere. And he goes to IRL events, he's been in Europe several times, and it's just, he's everywhere. He's always giving speeches, yet a lot of people just don't know who he is. And we're here to reveal who he is today.
He's everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. He shows up at all the events, but he still tries to keep a low profile. And you're going to see why.
So we should probably go over what kind of views he espouses. So as we said, he's gay.
Doesn't blast it all over the place, but he is fairly open about being gay. Mm-hmm. And his claim is that while he is homosexual and feels no romantic or sexual attraction to women, he realizes that homosexuality is degenerate, and as such, espouses that viewpoint by remaining celibate.
How old is he, and how many children does he have?
He's 50-something.
He's somewhere in the range of 50.
And he has no kids. Yeah, of course. So this guy, of course, runs Countercurrents Publishing, And we'll probably have this all linked in some notes somewhere. We're going to have several articles that he has published. And I'm going to read these right now. I'm not going to read the entire article, of course. I'm just going to quote some of the things he's written. This was March 2016. He wrote an article called Gay Panic on the Alt-Right. And this is how he opens. The alternative right is subject to occasional gay panics. Throughout most of human history, politics and war have been exclusively male occupations, and in those realms of cultures where women took part, such as religion and education, the sexes were still separate rather than mixed. Since this is a political movement, it is naturally attracted to men. Since it is a dissident political movement, it tends to scare off women. However, in the present age, all predominantly or exclusive male institutions are routinely slurred as gay. The purpose of this charge is to lower the trust and raise conflict within male groups, etc., etc. He goes on for a while. And then
yes, this is an individual who talks about the, I believe his exact term was the heuristics of gay suspicion, the hermeneutics. Essentially, a set of sort of almost instinctual knee-jerk procedures we have to homosexuals. He talks about how the presence of homosexuals has cheapened a lot of things and really rotted from the inside a lot of male spaces, gyms, men's club, etc. Going a bit further on this article,
gay panics weaken the movement, so how do we armor ourselves against them? There are basically two options: get rid of all the homosexuals or stop caring about them. The first option cannot work for the simple reason that gay panics do not require the actual presence of homosexuals, but the mere possibility they are present. Well, he's right, but that's not the case. We've got them present, and they're fucking everywhere.
And he openly admits to this. Just a few inches further down on this article. First, there is no point worrying about homosexual entryism because they are already inside. When I first arrived on the white nationalist scene in the year 2000, it was apparent that a number of discreet and open homosexuals like Martin Webster were already well ensconced. Second, the most enthusiastic purgers are themselves outsiders and would-be interests who are in no position to purge anyone. Third, the movement is not a monolithic, centralized Bolshevik party, so talk of purges makes no sense anyway. Again, there is nothing to prevent people from creating their own groups and platforms according to their own ideological tastes. Finally, as I said before, even if the purges get what they want, it still does not protect them against gay panics, because the problem is not the presence of homosexuals, but the specter of homosexuality, the mere possibility of homosexuality, which will never disappear. And you know what? I agree with him on that last point. I think that the specter of homosexuality will not disappear as long as we continue to tolerate these people inside of our spheres and circles, and it is known that they are there.
This is basically
the rest of this is just literally, we're here, we're queer, get used to it, we're in your movement, and we're not leaving.
Accept us.
See, with the hermeneutic stuff, it is literally like our Red Scare. And much like the actual Red Scare is, it's not just some sort of groundless criticism of, like, we don't like these people, we don't want them here. No, they actively work against our interests by their very being. They are antithetical to the ideals that they preach, Greg Johnson, for example. Mm-hmm. You're going to actually have kids. Like, it's...
I agree with you on the comparison to the Red Scare for a bit of a point. The pinnacle of the Red Scare was McCarthyism. And you know what we get when we actually take a look at McCarthy and his list that drummed up all that panic?
They were
McCarthy
all Jews.
Was right.
Fucking right.
Every single person on his list were active subverters acting against the good of his nation.
Yeah.
And I think we can make same comparison to these people.
Like save the white race, then let's just not have kids because we're all fucking fags.
To quote my friend Oscar, formerly of the Convict Report, gays are basically spiritual Jews. They come in, because people like Greg Johnson, they come into this movement and they start saying, look, Goyim, these are our values now, and you have to adhere to them. Gays are necessary for the movement, and you can't counter-signal against us, because then it would be bad.
But what about Milo?
Yeah.
Fucking based!
Exactly. Exactly. That was the same... You know what? This is the exact same fucking shit Milo was trying to pull a year ago.
We fucking try to shit can him for him, but no, Greg Johnson, you know, he's been on the show. You know, he's been on so-and-so podcast. He's based.
He's been to this event. Yeah, he's based. Oh,
basically, we have a current policy in place of tolerating these people despite knowing that they're toxic until they get outed for something hideous and pederastic. And, well, it looks like that day has fucking come.
So we talked about how the fact that he has this influence in the movement. Now, we should probably...
That's his first article.
That's his first article. Well, I just wanted to talk about the fact that we mentioned he goes to all these events. He's been to the New York Forum, Northwest Forum. He's been to MPI, I'm pretty sure. He's on this podcast, that podcast. He's published articles here and there. Yet there's no images of him on the internet. Why is that?
I wonder why that could be.
Well, see, the thing is, you could say OPSEC, because, you know, lots of people exercise OPSEC for very good reason. But that's his real name.
I was going to say, indeed, that is his real name. And he, in fact, is a vociferous critic of those who operate pseudonymously. We use a nom de guerre. And it's indeed curious. And though I am here to play devil's advocate, I must say I find no compelling answer for the question he posed.
Provided I remember correctly, he was critical of just anonymity in general from an article that I read a while back. I'll have to fish it out, but either way, to have such a perspective and yet be so thoroughly affiliated with anonymous individuals at all these conferences, at all these talks, and all these podcasts, and all these forums, everyone there basically goes, I mean, we're all going by nom de guerre, we're all going by pseudonyms, right? Like, to be critical of that, like, that's our fucking defense, that's our OPSEC. Yeah.
So anyway, so he says in that article... you know, the gay panic on the alt-right. He's been involved with this since 2000. So he's been doing this for 17 years, and we haven't seen what he looked like.
Yeah. Now, there is a rumor going around, and I cannot attest as to the veracity of this rumor, that sometime back in his past, he did some homosexual pornographic films, and that's why he is so careful about his image getting out, to the point of demanding that if someone takes a photo of him, they delete it, because he's worried about his image getting out there and being compared.
Well, he's going to get recognized, because I remember distinctly one thing he talked about. I can't remember what show this was on, but he mentioned that he lived in San Francisco for some years. And, of course, anyone here has any kind of fundamental knowledge of the degenerate culture of white America will know San Francisco is a big center of it. And it makes sense that if he was plastered, like if he had the Richard Spencer treatment where he was now the new literal Adolf Hitler of America, you would know for sure all these fucking, you know, fucking gay fags down in San Francisco that have been involved in standard fuck parties years ago. Hey, I know that guy. You know, I fucking fisted him on the fuck pew a couple of years back.
So, there's still some thunder on that one. Let's say, he's just using it as OPSEC. You know, the rumors are baseless and he's just being secure. But he's not secure. His countercurrency is his full-time employee.
Yeah, he was getting fisted undercover.
He takes donations for stuff, for books and all that. And it's like, that's not really the argument then.
Yeah. So we should now probably, we'll still talk about Greg Johnson, but we'll now talk about someone that has been involved in countercurrents for some time. We are going to be talking about James J. O'Meara, who has written numerous articles for countercurrents over the years. And is a regular contributor. And I want to read to you the introduction to this lovely article that he wrote some time ago. Have I got a date? June 17th, 2016. This article is called This Old Gay House. And he has a quote from a book at first, and then this is the head of the article. Oh, boy. Everyone knows that the role of homosexuals in the creation as well as the preservation of culture, especially that of the Aryan race. Well, maybe not.
Homosexuals as the natural aristocrats.
Yeah. He then later talks about books like How Homosexuals Save Civilization, and then Lewis Cranford's Homosexuality and Civilization. It's just he debates the idea, but for some time, and then he basically comes to the same conclusion that we got with Greg Johnson, is that, well, you know, they're here, so we just you should just let them in. It's truly amazing.
Shall we move on?
I am disgusted about the thing that later on in this article he says that H.P. Lovecraft was a fag.
That really.
Well, we should also say the other. We should say something about this James Amira folk. A little while ago, I forgot how long ago it was, but basically it surfaced that there was like a, I don't know, it was a photo account. I believe it's since been showered, actually. There was like an account where there was tons of images belonging to someone called James O'Meara with like some weird bizarro fetish shit. We're like talking whips and chains.
Wasn't there one photo where he's like bound over a table wearing a maid's costume, getting fucked in the ass by somebody with a strap on?
Okay, so the actual context of that photo is that James O'Meara is dressed up in drag, and he's being spanked by a tranny BDSM prostitute dominatrix. That's the context.
I like that there's context.
Because that's so much better.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not sure which of those possibilities is worse.
This is some Emma Sokowitz.
I mean, if he was
stuff.
Getting fucked in the ass with a strap on, at least it's a fucking woman doing it, but, you know, fucking he's taking it up the ass, but he's getting spanked and it's by a tranny, and yeah, I don't even know.
This is where I want to go full radical Presbyterian, but I shall not for the sake of the audio.
I'm going to church this Sunday.
Become.
Oh, man.
Same.
Wait, no, I'm going to have to find a new church because I was raised Methodist, and we evidently just appointed our first deacon.
Okay, so yeah, so basically that's Greg Johnson. We will move on, as Sage said. That's Greg Johnson. He's involved in the alt-right.
I just wanted to add. I think we should mention his involvement, exactly what he does, and in what groups that he does it. You know, his involvement in forums and meetups and things like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, we should talk about the Northwest Front, shouldn't we, Hazard? Because this is where it gets really insidious.
The Northwest Front is an organization. It's a movement, really. We have the TRS-affiliated group known as Cascadia, and they are following the works set down by Harold Covington and the Butler Plan. You know, white people, we're going to have to cede some ground, move up to the Northwest. It's too cold. It's already really white up there. We can fortify and rebuild up there and bide our time. Now, back in the day, Harold Covington and Greg Johnson actually did some work together. You can still find articles that were written by Harold Covington that are on countercurrents.com. Hmm. And this proceeded until, I believe it was 2010 or so, when Harold Covington made an appearance on some sort of, it was some sort of media publication. It may have been a show, it may have been a podcast. I'm not positive off the top of my head, but he came out as being vehemently anti-homosexual. He went well beyond the point of, you know, if you're a homosexual, you need to stay in the closet. And he said, look, we cannot have homosexuals in our movement. They will rot us from the inside out. And after that, Greg Johnson and him no longer got along, no longer worked together, and there were persistent rumors from that point onward that nobody should have anything to do with Harold Covington because he was actually a federal agent. I have no way of tracing where exactly those rumors spread up from, but I have my suspicions.
The number of coincidences here are truly staggering. Yeah.
Yes. Now, what they have instead of what Harold Covington had is, as I said, they have Cascadia, and they have what is known as the Northwest Forum, which is essentially their get-togethers, their hangouts, their meetings every so often. I have spoken to individuals who, given what we're talking about, wish to remain anonymous, and essentially, they have been barred. Nothing so explicit as being told you are no longer welcome, But at the Northwest Forum, they went on a bit of a tirade about how disgusting homosexuals were, about how they did not like them, they could not stand them. And we're not even talking, you know, something along the line of, you know, hang all the gays from cranes, kill all the gays and faggots, just, I can't stand these people in our midst. And then afterwards, these people were no longer being invited to events. There's something a little bit more insidious, too, and this is the reason some of my sources wish to remain anonymous. And that is, a while back, Greg Johnson put out a call to people. He said that he had contacts within the Trump administration and that they were looking for good people who were slash our guys to fill some auxiliary positions within the administration. And Greg Johnson began asking people to send him their resumes. Now, I haven't heard of anybody hearing anything back from all this. No one who I know who submitted through any sort of system like this has received any sort of position within the Trump administration or even really heard back from anyone. However, Greg Johnson now does have a lot of people's real names, information, and credentials, which is why my sources wish to remain anonymous.
For the record, I do want to point out that for the sake of, you know, the benefit of the doubt here, if you have actually, in fact, been, you know, done this through Greg Johnson and have been contacted back by the federal government, please, you know, feel free to drop it down below, you know, make an imager album, you know, showing all the docs and shit so that we can believe you, you know, just to put the benefit of the doubt out there.
Not necessarily, don't actually dox yourself.
Yeah, don't, you know, cross out your names and this. Shit, but.
But then so far as I know, and I've done a bit of investigation, there's no one that's known. The same thing can be applied to what is known as the New York Forum, which is the gatherings and meetings up in the Northeast. I've also spoken with individuals there who went off on some sort of tirade against homosexuals and were no longer invited to any events. Again, these are individuals whose real information Greg Johnson knows, so they are remaining anonymous.
See, this is when I say this guy has enormous influence, this is what I mean, is, and we know he likes to threaten with this. Shall we talk about that, or we're not going to?
Yes. After Kulturkampf left TRS, after they took their, after the Yidwife crisis and Kulturkampf left TRS and made an excellent post detailing why they were leaving, that while it wasn't exactly the most courteous, it was still a fairly polite post. Afterwards, Greg Johnson made a post to, I believe it was Tharu Larbi, and there were also some implications for Titus Flavius. But he essentially said, are you sure you want to burn bridges like this? I know where your mother lives.
And we should just clarify for the record, Yidwife crisis was when Mike Enoch got doxxed, because that's a meme that's sort of internally out.
Yeah, it's the second Jim Pact.
Yeah, this is what I mean. This is amazing. So we have...
And it's not like he throws around his weight and his influence to keep things pointed in the right direction. Now, he has previously spoken and said that his ideals and values are the same as ours, that, you know, he's a homosexual, but he's celibate. But there are still rumors going around about him. Whenever he's been seen in Europe, he's generally seen in the company of what would be considered a decently attractive young boy, different individuals at different times, generally within the 18 to 25 year age range, which is suspicious in and of itself. If a married man was traveling and was continually seen in the company of attractive young women that were not his wife, there would be plenty of rumors going about. But it's not just that that says that his ideals and values do not match that which he says they are. There were a few recent posts, and this ties into an uprising we've been seeing lately, where homosexuals are trying to reassert their place within the movement, whatever you wish to call it, and just trying to carve out their own place. Here is a post from Greg Johnson. I oppose a package deal of white nationalism and social conservatism. White nationalism is for all white people. My idea of a utopia is a place where we are still fighting over abortion and feminism, but it is only white people who are doing it. I think these reactionaries are a ball and chain on white nationalism. They have never won a battle since when? Stalingrad? And it was soon followed after by another post. I think the movement should disavow people who use the word sodomites. You sound like a fucking snake handler.
I wonder who he was talking about here.
Really makes you think.
If I may, these two particular posts, I think, encapsulate everything that we're opposed to. And what I've been trying to strongly and earnestly repeat from the very beginning. It's precisely. It's almost a parody. It's a parody.
No niggers in my bathhouse. No niggers in my gay bathhouse.
And we should just stay for the record, props to Common Filth, because that's where we got them from. Common Filth tweeted this out a few days ago.
Common Filth's vindication is coming.
I would just say that, you know, the biggest, you know, reason I'm here, what I want to communicate to people who are listening to this is that this is the ideology that these people have. These people are vapid. They don't have any moral integrity. They posture about having some sort of spiritual worldview, but in fact, they have no serious ethics whatsoever, as we've demonstrated time and time again. And that's what it comes down to, is that these people are the enemy. And if we tolerate them because they've done good work in the movement, you know, it makes ourselves party to their crimes. Now, I like some of what Countercurrents, you know, has on its website, but I don't browse it because of this very reason.
Platforms of thought. It's
the path to survival, then let us die some indignity.
Yep, the ethnocide is going to be base bags and bathhouse.
You can't criticize like anything that Craig Johnson wrote, because it's just a purity spiral, you're taking it out of context. Like, no, these people are fucking direct.
If I can tell my own little side of the story here, and I'm gonna keep names hidden for obvious purposes here, but I was talking to a prominent figure of the alt-right about my concerns with Greg Johnson. Frankly, I didn't really let him know about what we're doing today, but I sort of, you know, egged him on and was like, Greg Johnson's this and that. And he's like, hey, watch your mouth, you know, I don't want you talking about that. You know, he does a lot of good for the movement. Okay. And I think we should just overlook it. And I think that's the prevailing attitude with a lot of the higher ups. And I attribute this not to malice, but to ignorance of what, in fact, Greg Johnson has been doing and how much harm he is for the movement. Case in point, you know, he tries to subvert our movement, and, you know, people claim, he publishes this and that. Yeah, but nobody reads him. Few and far between people read them, and they're all within our movement. They've already been red-pilled. The dude's red-pilling nobody. He's accomplishing nothing, and he's subverting our movement for the homosexuals.
No, he's accomplishing something for him and his ilk. He's carving a place out for them.
The thing to remember is with those people, it's the exact same approach as people like Miley Yiannopoulos, right? Not necessarily that they're true believers or that, you know, they might do good work or whatever. It's simply that they know that they will never be tolerated. They will never survive in a system that is not run by a majority white state. Because, you know, the black communities are not the most friendly to gays, and the Muslim communities just throw them off of buildings. They know it's their own self-preservation, and they'll parasitize movements like this just to save their own lives, because they're avaricious, hyper-individualistic people.
We have another example of this. I'm pretty sure Colin Field covered this, but recently, Michael Lucas, a gay Israeli Jew pornographer, came out in support of Donald Trump's Muslim ban, purely for the sole reason, Muslims don't like gays, and I don't want to be thrown off a crane. Like,
fucking based!
Yeah, clearly he's based. Someone get him on The Daily Show or something like that, guys.
Don't worry, it's going daily.
Anyway, let's not talk about that. But point is, it's like, this is what these people believe. He literally only supports preventing the white Western world from being overrun by shit skins because they won't let him fucking go fuck the fist Ken boy on the fuck pew.
There is, in fact, a name for the ideology that he subscribes to, and that's racist liberalism. And that's essentially what all of these guys, and you know, like him, believe in, is they accept essentially European Enlightenment philosophy and politics. And they, as you say, they're not traditionalists in any sense of the word. And as you've hammered home again and again and again, if you don't uproot the core of our problems at their base, which is modernity, which is, in fact, the acceptance of such degenerate behavior as being part of one's private life, not affecting one's lifestyle or social circle or civilization, then indeed this is the very cause of our downfall. And so to allow somebody who subscribes to this viewpoint to be among us is foolhardy and reckless.
We cannot continue to grow when we are infested with cancerous tumors. They must be excised. I don't want fucking, you know, nigger-free bathhouses and a racist liberal society. I want us to get our shit together. I want us to look to the sky, to the stars, to go out and see things we have never seen before, to explore and grow and thrive and not die on this fucking ball of earth. And if we keep going the way we are, we won't do that. We will die on this world, our entire fucking species, and be discovered centuries, millennia later as a rotting fucking world. A grave. Fuck that!
Look, guys, at least, you know, when you know, we look back, at least we go, hey, at least we weren't homophobic.
Ugh.
Anyways.
Speaking of homos, shall we progress on to the...
Yes, let's move on to the next topic, because we have got a lot more to go.
Yes, we do. Now, Greg Johnson is also a member of one of the secret Facebook groups, a group that is known as Fasci Faggots. Fasci Faggots is a Facebook group where all of the homosexuals within our circles hang out. And it's really where you start to see the veneer of, I may be a homosexual, but I'm celibate, begin to peel away.
So this Facebook group has roughly about 20-25 members. So it is small, but that is a lot when you think about it. This is not a big move, and this is only a couple of hundred people, a couple thousand at max. 20 is a lot. But anyway, this Facebook group, we can confirm, is real, because I at least, Hazard and I know of at least two people that have seen this group. We, of course, once again, we cannot name these people, but I'll let Hazard tell his story. So, how do we know this group is real, Hazard?
Well, I have confirmation of this group from multiple people. One individual, again, anonymous, because... Well, to be frank, the faggots have his docs.
Mm-hmm.
But he confirms that it is a real group. I have another individual who... Now, let me specify. He is not a homosexual. However, he keeps getting added to this group by these individuals because Facebook is retarded like that. And we've all met a homosexual. They delight in creeping people out and... just waving their faggotry in people's faces because they get a thrill out of disgust. They get some sort of validation out of it.
Yeah.
And this individual has told me that in here, in this group, the masks come off. The veneer is stripped away. These people talk about things and trade pictures with one another. All sorts of things. This group was founded and is run by one individual by the name of Brendan Kissam. Now,
also known as Vaughn Lockerson. We should stress that because that is the public name here.
I am going to iterate now. None of the information that we are talking about in this entire show is not, well, there's plenty of stuff that isn't public knowledge, but none of the people that we are mentioning by name are being outed by us. They have already been outed. In the case of Brendan Kissam, a.k.a. Thorn Lockerson, it was after the doxing when 8Pol found out his real identity because of his name and association with the Appalachian Lives Matter donation drive.
If you donated money to help the people of Appalachia, well, the Appalachian Mountains, it went via FAG, just to let you know.
Did it even go to the Appalachians to begin with?
Oh, no. Did the money go? Yes. To the best of my knowledge, the money went there. I thought you were asking if Brendan Kissam had gone to the Appalachians.
No. So Brendan Kissam, Thorne Lockerson. Now, unlike Greg Johnson, he has made absolutely zero attempt to hide the fact that he is an open, flaming homosexual who engages in degeneracy all the time. So
within a day of him being added to the Inner Circle Facebook group, he had made a video message telling them that their stance against gays was a bad thing, that they were pushing away people that could join the movement, and trying to make a case for, you know, fashy faggots and, oh, they may be gay, but they still share your values, trademark, and all that, which, yeah, and he's talked about his degenerate past in far more detail than should ever be talked about. I already know you're a fag. I know you take dicks up the ass. I have some suspicions. You know, you've probably done drugs in the past. I don't need to know that you used to take dicks in the ass while you were high on meth.
The fucking foam party.
Yes. Oh, why don't we talk about that foam party? Mine?
Yeah, go ahead. So Brendan Kissam, and I'm trying to find his Facebook account. I think he may have deleted it. Anyway, okay, that's unrelated. But Brendan Kissam, like, on his Facebook account, I know there's, like, an image that's been floating around the chance for some time, so if we can find that and provide it to the viewers, that would be great. So we'll try and get that for you if we can. But Brendan Kissam, like, his profile just has all kinds of shit. There's a profile picture from several years ago. He's a relatively young guy. He's not, like, Greg Johnson's age. He's in his 20s, though he looks like he's almost 40. AIDS does that to you, I suppose. Where he is at this foam party, topless with all these other guys, and they're all touching each other, and it's just, it's fucking crazy, weird fucking shit. And this is someone who's in the right stuffed up is in a circle. I mean, hold on, I found it. Yeah, okay, so we found his Facebook account. He has three Facebook accounts, I should say. But yeah, that's who he is, and he, as I said, he has made no attempt to hide it. He's talked about the fact he's done meth before. He's talked about the fact that he has high-profile, he's had sex with high-profile people. So yeah, this guy has basically, as I said, has made no attempt to hide who he is. He's openly talked about the fact he's done meth. He openly brags about who he's had sex with. He's had sex with high-profile people, apparently. I don't want to know the details of that. And, yeah. Like, he's the opposite of Greg Johnson. And this guy, as I said, was a member of the Right Stuff to Biz.
He's the founder of the Fashy Faggots
group. He's the founder of the Fashy Faggots group. And another thing about Brendan Kissam is the fact that he likes to brag the fact that he has dick pictures and other nudes from various men involved in this movement, and he likes to distribute these amongst the Facebook group. In fact, I know with one case of one individual whom he mistook as one of them. This guy, I should say for this record, this guy hasn't been involved with years. He told me that about this 2 years ago. He actually was sent some images by members of this group because they thought he was one of them and were asking for him
somewhat- to... He's somewhat predatory about it, too. He will, I know for certain, he's gone after and acquired nudes of an individual who, while heterosexual, is very autistic and very vulnerable. Yeah. And it's just fucking disgusting.
Because I was about to say, we've talked about it, he solicits nudes. Who has he solicited nudes from? Shall we move on to the next topic on our list? And this is going to get the fucking blood boiling, believe me.
This is where TRS fully comes in.